Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
Good Sunday afternoon to you, princes and princesses of patriotism. It is about 2 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. from the Texas Patriot Studios Command and Uncle Bing from the Tennessee Patriot Studios Command. We got a pretty good show lined up today, we hope. We've got several things we're going to talk about. The phone lines are already starting to stack up. Our phone number is 718-305-7176. And as y'all may recall, I don't have an editorial today, but as y'all may recall, last week Bing did the rant and he talked about gun control. In particular, he talked about an ad that the cause celeb in Hollywood came out with. And I found an interesting, Bing and I both found an interesting article. He's got it up over at www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. Which is our partner, by the way. So go over there and join up if you're a traditional American, which we assume most of you that are listening are. Interesting article here, Uncle Bing. After last month's Newtown, Connecticut school shooting, the debate about the cause of gun violence in the U.S., some in Hollywood weighed in by appearing in a public service announcement, as we know because you played that clip for us last week. It was that star-studded PSA, which features Jamie Foxx, Steve Carroll, John Hamm, Cameron Diaz, Jennifer Aniston, and a lot of others. It inspired a parody video of these celebrities wielding guns in films and TV shows that they've done. Now, it's not mocking what happened in Newtown. It's mocking these celebrities. And I'd like to play play this for you real quick, Bing, and then we'll come back and we'll read a little bit more of this article and we'll talk about it.
Well, go for it. It shows the hypocrisy of Hollywood.
Absolutely.
Columbine. I like the way you die, boy.
Kill all the white people in the movie. How great is that?
Virginia Tech.
Tucson.
Aurora.
Fort Hood. Oak Creek. Newtown.
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 How many more? How many more? How many more colleges? How many more classrooms?
Okay, I can understand why people like that.
How many more movie theaters?
Here we go. Do it, yes.
How many more houses of faith?
Yeah, that's gangster style.
How many more shopping malls?
Let's kill it. You talking to me, bitch?
Easy there, fella. Okay.
How many more street corners?
How many more?
How many more?
Enough.
Enough.
It's kind of cool, actually.
Enough.
Enough.
Demand a plan.
Right now. As a mom.
As a dad.
As a friend.
As a husband.
As a wife.
As an American.
As an American.
As an American.
As a human being.
for the children of Sandy Hook.
Demand a plan. No more lists of names.
So as you can see, that's pretty much how the whole 4.5 minute video goes, as you know, Bing. It's interesting, you know, this parody mocking these celebrities illustrates the awkward position that Hollywood finds itself in with respect to gun violence. You all know how I feel about liberals. I mean, I'm the guy that says they're the afterbirth of a botched abortion that produced Lenin. I would never muzzle these folks' First Amendment right to speech, to say what they want, to believe what they believe, to make the gross films that they make in Hollywood. But for these folks to make the sort of violence that glorifies and desensitizes our youth, and then turn around and expect law-abiding citizens to give up their weapons is utterly ridiculous. And I just want to note here that after this YouTube video was uploaded, many suspected it might be a gun lobby, the gun lobbyist. And the person who made the video responded, "I'm stationed in the secret underground bunker beneath the NRA headquarters in Fairfax, Virginia, with the reanimated corpse of Charlton Heston." I thought that was pretty clever. Let's go ahead and bring Bing in here, and let's chat about this a little bit. Bing?
Oh, I think it's funny, man. Is my mic, like, hooked up all right? Somebody was saying they heard a wind tunnel noise or something.
Yeah, I had to mute you for a few minutes, but you sound great. Now, we were getting some background. We could hear the show in the background, and then there was a lot of static. But go ahead.
All right. Okay. Yeah, you know, I got a plan to end this. How about they stop making movies that glorify gun killing? You know, people killing each other with guns. You know, I mean, duh. You know, but these same people, like I said, it's hypocrisy, man. They don't care. And like Rahm Emanuel said, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. You know, never let it go to waste. This is a typical liberal type playbook that they like to run. And, you know, they'll run it till the end, till they can't get any more traction out of it. But I think that one thing that we ought to do is ship all these Hollywood actors and actresses over to, Russia, someplace. Let them hang out someplace, you know, fun, you know, where there are no guns, where, you know, the government controls every little aspect of your life. Let's see how they like it. They like it over there.
You know
what's funny, too? These same people walk around with entourages that have armed security details.
Oh,
is that
absolutely
unbelievable? Wow, I can't fathom that, Michael.
What really gets me, I guess, is the fact, you know, they will stand up and say, well, it's the gun's fault. Yet they make this trash some of it is some really violent stuff. Where are the people crying? Where are the people on that same side? I mean, they're liberals, right? It's everything else's fault. So where are these same people in Hollywood standing up? We got to do something about these violent films. It's the fault of these violent films. I mean, they try to have it, but how can they possibly look at anybody with a straight face and make a commercial like the one you played for us, the PSA that you played for us last week, that's integrated into this parody of that PSA? And again, I just want to stipulate, this is not making parody of what happened in Newtown. I mean, I think there's a stroke of brilliance behind this. By the way, it is about 10 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is 305-7176. This is Uncle Bing Fisher and Michael B., your host on Soldiers of Patriotism, a part of the Conservative Nation Radio Network. You can find us at www.conservativenationradio.org. as well as at our partner's website, www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. We are talking about the Newtown incident and a parody that was released earlier this last week. from the celebrities' cause, where they said enough, 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 yada yada yada, blah blah blah. You know, I was looking at the news this morning, Bing, and you know, let's just throw right in here with this. We'll add to this discussion, and then maybe here after the soft break, we'll get Ron in and we'll find and I'll find out who's on that other line, and we'll bring them in. Maybe they've got something to say on this. But Bing, on Fox News this morning, the White House is reportedly considering gun control measures beyond assault weapons. The administration,
really?
Yes, the administration. Yeah, no. Absolutely. Well, yeah, right. The administration task force led by Vice President Joe Biden is considering such measures as universal background checks for gun buyers, national gun database, strengthening mental health checks, and tougher penalties for carrying guns near schools or giving them to minors, sources told the newspaper. Now, while those might sound good on the surface, it's incrementalization. It's just one more step into trying to take away our constitutional right. Well, not, let me rephrase that. Our God-given
our
right
God-given
enumerated,
rights.
That's enumerated in the Constitution, Bing. I mean,
oh, exactly.
If people aren't afraid of what's going to happen, if more of these things continue, if we don't outlaw or do away with gun-free zones, get armed patrol or arm our teachers, something, and things like this continue to happen, it's going to make it increasingly difficult, and I, as God is my witness, the American public, there's enough of them now, we know, after this election, that are soft enough and stupid enough that they will give up their rights for the perceived notion of a little bit of security.
Well, exactly true, Michael, and the thing is that, look, we, and to reiterate, okay, we are not making light of the Newtown tragedy, okay? I am. I'm certainly not. I mean, you know, if I was there, I wish I could have helped stop it or at least prevent some of the carnage. You know, I'm sure anybody would, you know. But the thing is that, look, and as I said last week, all right, there are crazy people out there. We can't control crazy, okay? We don't have bans on crazy people yet, okay? I imagine we will at some point in time, but we don't have bans on crazy people. It's just the same. So why do you sit there and put a ban on an inanimate object as a gun? And it's a stupid one at that, because an assault rifle, look, according to the FBI annual crime statistics, I don't know if you've seen this, Michael, have you seen this, about, you know, Dianne Feinstein and Joe Manchin and so on, you know, are talking about the gun control issue and so on. You know, there's more people that are killed every year with blunt objects like hammers.
Yes,
and so
I did
on.
See that.
Did you see that? So, you know, is there such a thing as, I guess, an assault hammer? Is there such a thing as an assault hammer? Because I'd like to see one, you know. I mean, everybody has a hammer. What are we going to do, ban hammers now? Because more people, actually, it's 445 people in 2005 were murdered by hammers, or by guns, while 605 were murdered.
Well,
it's unbelievable. So, you know, I mean, where do you go from here? You know, there's more people that are killed by cars. You know, people die every day. And it's not to make light of anything, but the thing is that, you know, when you start to ban things, you start taking away freedoms from people.
Absolutely. Well, we're up against a soft break, Bing, so hold your thought, because I've got an answer to your question. It is 15 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number 718-305-7176. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. in Texas and Uncle Bing in Tennessee. We'll be right back.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy Avenue.
Broke up
and go past
and
the first three lights
happy
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
then
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be
who
there.
Am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway.
On the right. That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Mark your calendars.
January 13th, Conservative Nation Radio proudly presents special guest A.J. Resig, author of the futuristic dystopian series Freedom Redo, Escape to Freedom. The first book of the series, which takes place in the fall of 2049, AJ will discuss how a future United States of America has become a socialist nation. Unfortunately, a nation that has not become the utopia the left has dreamed of. Catch AJ right here next Sunday on the Conservative Nation Radio's Soldiers of Patriotism.
Yes, that will be next Sunday, January the 13th. We will have A.J. Resig on, who will be discussing his book, Freedom Redo. We're really excited about that. And it kind of goes, this is really kind of a precursor to that, this discussion we're having. This is real life. He's going to be discussing a fictional novel in which the United States has become socialist. And by the way, it is 17 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. We're right at the moment discussing gun control. We've just played a video that is a parody of one that some Hollywood celebs decided to make after the tragedy at Newtown. As Rahm Emanuel says, never let a good crisis go to waste. Bing, you asked the question, you know, why don't they take away blunt objects and whatnot? Well, see, here's the thing. While more people die from blunt objects, and I mean, you can look at the FBI's uniform statistics. I think the last full year was 2010 that I could get my hands on. Total murders were 13,000 something. Of those, about I think 6,000 were committed by guns. I can't remember right off the top of my head. I had them a few weeks ago. Yet 3 to 5 times as many people in the country do defend themselves with those very same weapons that the left would like to take away from us. And the reason that they want to take them away from us is it's not because more people die from overeating, why not take the spoons away, or more people die from blunt object, you know, hits to the head or whatnot, take away the hammers. It's because when it comes right down to it, Bing, if we had to defend ourselves against a government that had went tyrannical, we'd not be able to do so with hammers and spoons, but we'd be able to do so with firearms. They want to disarm us because they want to rule us. They want to take over our lives. That's their ultimate goal. That's what the left's ultimate goal is. This is what Hitler did. It's what Stalin did. Every dirty dictator throughout history has disarmed its citizens so that they could rule absolutely.
Well, of course. I mean, you look at communist Russia. I mean, you know, these people actually had more weapons. They were a weaponized society. You know, the Cossacks, I mean, just were running around with swords and knives and, you know, guns and everything. You know, their whole society, and then they took all that away, and these people now live in subjugation. You know, yep. at the hands of the very government that they sit there and they have to appease the government. And you look at any of these countries that have took away guns and took away the people's right to freedom, really, and there are more murders by the state, by these statists, by these dictators, than there are in any other country that has freedoms, that has where the government actually knows that their people could uprise against them if they wanted to.
Yeah,
and that's what's stopping them right now.
Well, look how many people died in Oklahoma City, Bing, and it was a bag. It was a U-Haul bed full of fertilizer.
Yep.
So
ammonium nitrate.
You know,
you can buy that anywhere. You can buy it down at Co-op right now. You know,
I could go down to the farm store right down the road from me, Russell's Feed and Seed, and I could stock up and take care of just about anything I wanted to. Hey, let's get some of our callers in. It is 21 minutes after the top of the hour. The number 718-305-7176. I believe both of these gentlemen might have something to say on this issue, Bing, don't you?
I think so.
Go ahead, bring in who you want.
Well, Ron basically said he was listening, so let's bring in Kurt here. Kurt, you're up, man. How you doing, sir? Hello, Kurt. Okay, he's not there. Let's bring him around real quick.
I'm here.
All right, Ron's there.
Well, let me tell you a good thing that happened this week in my eyes. Did you read about the woman down in Loganville in Atlanta? It was her house was getting broken into, and she had her two twin 9-year-old boys. And she got upstairs into her hidey hole along with her .38 pistol, and the guy found her. And when he opened the door, he's looking at the two kids and that .38, and she unloads it on him and puts 5 bullets in him out of 6, and then gets out the front of the house and runs to safety. And he takes off after and gets in his car and drives down the street a little bit and crashes. I mean, that's the answer to gun crime is, and this is a well-trained woman that got in between this guy and hurting her and her two kids. And I believe that's a wonderful thing.
I wish the NRA would get a hold of her and make a commercial with her, a PSA with her.
Oh, you know it.
I tell you what, Ronald, brother, that's a mother there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That is a mother. That is, and I tell you what, if she had a father over there, he'd probably be doing the same doggone thing, too. He probably would have caught the guy before he got in the house. But I'm just saying, man, that's a beautiful thing, man. I love to see that.
Well, you know, they always come at you with the emotional art. My wife, who is a recent convert from the Democratic Party, but she still struggles with certain issues. Guns is one of them. And she married a Texan. I mean, I don't know what she was thinking, but she asked me yesterday about it. And she said, well, why do you need an assault weapon? Well, my response was pretty direct and straightforward, being in Ron. It was because it's my right to. You know,
well, I don't own an assault weapon.
Yeah, but can't own an assault
weapon. You own an ugly-looking weapon. It's mean, but it ain't an assault weapon.
Well, and let me follow up with, and I said, and by the way, what you're labeling an assault weapon is what the government, since Clinton, with the assault weapons ban, has conditioned you to believe, because those weapons are no different than a 30-06 or a 30-30. They just look mean.
As long as they're a semi-auto and not a revolver, then they are an assault weapon, okay, in their minds. That's their – because they look mean. Like you said, they got black furniture and black stocks and, you know, they got a folding different type of furniture on them and so on. They look mean, but they're a toy gun, really, when you consider what the military has. They don't – assault rifle means you have 3 clicks. You got – single fire, you got 3 round burst, or you got a fully auto. Some of them are just fully auto or single round. But they don't make those anymore as far as general populace can buy them. If you can buy them, you need to go through hoops and jump through all sorts of burning buildings just to get a permit to be able to try to get one. You can't own one.
Well, here's the worst problem with any kind of a ban.
The kid in Newtown stole his guns from his mother.
Right.
After and then he killed her.
The worst part of any kind of ban is the fact that it never ends. It never ends. Okay, so we're going to do away with someone being able to legally own an AR-15. Well, that's the line today. What's the line next year? What's the line when someone walks in with a 30-30 and does just as much damage? You know, a Winchester 30-30.
There's a video on traditionalamericanmovement.com that I put up there, and it shows the difference between what they're proposing on the assault weapons. Okay, as far as it pretty much pertains to the AR-15, and there's a man on there shooting, and he shows how to shoot, you know, 2 clips, 30 round clips that are only loaded with 10 rounds each, and so on, and he can do the same amount of damage that anybody could with any semi-auto. Every gun out
Absolutely.
There except revolver is a semi-auto, people. Do you not get it? You know, these people don't get it. And you can exchange a clip in about a second. My daughter can.
And that's my point. You know, if we allow, you know, and that was the point that I was trying to make to my wife. It's the fact that if you allow them to outlaw this today, it never ends. There's no end. It's like the debt limit. I mean, just to make an analogy, it never ends with the left. It's okay, well, you know, we're going to tax you at 39% now if you make over $250,000. Well, when they find out that doesn't work, well, then it's going to be 45%. It never ends with these folks. And there's a reason for that. They don't want it to end.
They don't want it because that's their gravy train. That's their power base. That's where they get their power from. You know, most people plug in a cord and you get your power from the electric company. These people go out and make their own power. They steal it from other people. They just take it.
Well, let's get Ron back in here to comment on this real quickly. It's 27 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. I am Michael B., along with my brother from Tennessee, Uncle Bing Fisher. We've got Ron on with us. And Boyd just called in. Kurt, hopefully you call back. We'd like to get some other callers in here today. We're going to have a good conversation. This is the traditional American show today. We got a lot happening in both worlds, and we'll talk about some other stuff, getting you guys on a TeamSpeak call and speaking with y'all and getting some direction from our supporters that Bing and I have been batting around. So we got a whole lot. But Ron, come on in here. Give us any more thoughts you've got on this. I mean, what do you think about the left's ambition? What do you think their ultimate goal is when they talk about banning weapons? Do you think
every gun? If they're able to do away with these gun show sales where you can just walk up, buy a gun, take it home with you without filling out any paperwork. If they can get away with banning that, then you're only going to be able to buy a gun from a registered dealer who is going to be required to fingerprint you, to do background checks on you, and you have you a week or two waiting period before you get your weapon. And when the government gets every weapon listed like that, then it's game over. We're done for. You can start counting the days at that point until we will not own guns anymore legally.
Well, Bing, Ron, let me ask you both something, all right? I mean, I will fight the way that we're fighting now. I will campaign and fight that away. I'm always cautious about calling for an armed insurrection against our government. But I got to tell you guys, I'm going to say it now, and I don't care who hears me, who downloads this. You can send it to the FBI. I don't give a rat's butt who you send it to. If the first person that walks up to my door to take my guns or the first time I see on TV that we've got to turn them in or something to that effect, that is something that I will indeed fight over.
Oh, definitely, Michael. I mean, look, you know, they're wanting to make people, you know, maybe like me, like other people out there that are law-abiding citizens that know how to use a weapon as criminals, absolute criminals that, you know, could be facing the felony, you know. And the deal is that in my earlier statement about the hammers causing, you know, more deaths and clubs and so on than guns, I mean, if somebody's going to attack me with a hammer, I think I would much rather have a gun to defend myself, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. You know, hey, so, well, brother, we're up against the bottom of the hour. Let's take us a quick break here, and we'll come out of it, and we'll continue this conversation. We've got a few more callers to pull into this, all right?
718-305-7176. Call in.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And good Sunday afternoon to you. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host from Texas, Michael B. That would be me, along with my brother, Uncle Bing Fisher from the Tennessee Patriot Studios Command. The time is 3:33 after the top of the hour. The phone number 718-305-7176. We have been discussing gun control. We're going to continue that discussion. But Bing, there's also some other things that we do need to talk about. And before we get too much further into the show, brother, but before the boss really comes down on me because she hadn't said anything yet, and I know she's in the chat, and I'm hoping she calls maybe for the last segment of the show so she can tell us what's going on on the back end with Conservative Nation Radio. That would be our general manager, Teresa Brusky, who is so happy and so thrilled today, being she's worked so hard. I'm so proud of her. I really am. She has built us a beautiful website. Our hits are through the roof. I mean, just in the last 2 days, I don't know, we've had several thousand hits, several hundreds of likes. I mean, we really couldn't be more fortunate to have Teresa running this group of opinionated show hosts like you and I. You've been doing a lot of reformatting on traditional American movement. This partnership is blossoming into something great. I see great potential. So, but I just needed to mention that. That's something more that we're going to talk about. We also need to talk about Chuck Hagel at some point. But let's go ahead, Bing, and get Kurt. Did I leave anything out? I'd hate for Duke to put me in host jail up there in Delaware. Did I leave anything out I needed to say? Grand launch. No,
as long as we say conservativenationradio.org.
Like there you go. And traditionalamericanmovement.com. 718-305-7176, the Soldiers of Patriotism of the Conservative Nation Radio Network, along with our partners, Traditional American Movement, for whom we are internally grateful. Brother Bing, let's go ahead. I'm gonna turn it over to you for just a minute. I need to go answer the door. But we've got Ron, Boyd, and Kurt on the line, and we are talking about gun control issues and the scary prospects we have before us as a country and what this administration might do to relieve us of our liberties.
All right. Thank you, Michael. I'm going to go ahead and get my brother Kurt in here for a second. Kurt, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You got anything to weigh in on this gun control thing? I know you posted something up there, but I know it's in a little area that nobody else can see. But what do you think about this, Kurt?
Well, I think you already know what I think about this. One thought that's been running through my head the last few days here, and this is something that I touch on in that post that I put in for moderators only a little while ago, and I want us to chew on this some. I think we're going to have to look for a different approach. You see, we keep trying to think in terms of that we're dealing with rational people in this issue, and we're not. We can rationalize from now till doomsday, and we're not going to change the thinking of these people.
No, we don't.
They'll keep doing what they've been doing. We've got to find a different. We got to do something different. We got to get radical.
Well, you know, Kurt, you know, I sometimes sit around and I think to myself, and okay, you know, I understand that there's some people out there that live in the city that maybe live in an area where you can't own a gun. They've never been brought up around guns. They don't know anything about going out and self-sustaining yourself by hunting. They don't know gun safety. And so when they see, and I have to understand that, okay, as a human being, I do have to understand that, all right, that I have to understand that there are certain people out there that just don't, they haven't been brought up around them, or they're scared of them. They're just plain outright frightened of them. I know people that are, I know guys that are just totally scared of guns. Either something happened or that nothing happened or they've seen something on TV. And so I think that there needs to be an awareness, maybe. There needs to be – I think we ought to have, you know, put the Tea Party groups go out there and put on some shooting not shows, but, you know, things that where people, the general populace, can come out and actually get familiar with guns, learn how they are, you know, handle one. You know what I'm saying, Kurt?
Yeah, I got no argument at all with that scenario. And you just caused something to pop into my mind here that I don't know if you're aware of this or not, Bing. The NRA, of course, is a volatile subject on both sides of the fence. We are believers in the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. The NRA is our ally. But there's an aspect of the NRA that a lot of people don't know about. Once a year here in Henry County, and there are other counties in the state that do it, there's an event called Friends of NRA. It's a totally different organization from the NRA itself. You don't have to be a member of the NRA to participate in it. They throw this fundraiser dinner, and there's an auction, and it's quite an auction. They auction off some high-dollar stuff. From firearms all the way down to pocket knives and engraving and just all kinds of stuff. And it raises a tremendous amount of money every year. And this money all goes to the simple concept of, I guess I shouldn't say it's simple, but it's focused at one area. It is spent to educate young people across the state about guns, gun safety, and teach them how to shoot. Last fall, when they had the last dinner we had here for that, it happens around in August, we had the state champion youth skeet shooting team there. And there were some guys in there, not much bigger than Washington Soap, that had gone to the state level and won the championship shooting skeet and trap. And I that's just fantastic to me. That's, you know, these young men know how to shoot. They know gun safety. They're not going to be afraid of guns. They will know how to handle them properly. And they will be able to defend themselves and their family and their country when the need comes for it. So, yeah, that's something right there. Yeah, education, you know. But a lot of people don't want to be educated. You're never going to be able to educate on them. You know, they'll stick their fingers in their ears and start screaming when you try to talk to them. They're not going to be educated. These are the flaming liberals. You know who I'm talking about. But
And the thing is, you can't educate people that don't have access to what you're trying to educate them, okay? In other words, if we were trying to educate people by reading and they didn't have access to books, like, you know, basically what happened in Nazi Germany, then you'd be hard-pressed to try to educate them on anything.
Well, now, there you go. See, you've gone into another area now, and that's the curriculum
at school. There you go again, Bing.
I didn't mean to get it that heavy with you, Kurt, but
I'm not chastising you for that. I'm just talking about, you know, you you've opened the door to open up a whole other can of worms there, which we'll no doubt in my mind get to at some point in time, probably not too far down the road.
Well, books, let me put it this way. Books will be right after the Assault Hammer band.
Yeah, there you go. And believe it or not, I knew a situation. I knew a couple in Memphis many years ago. The dude came home from work all drunked up and smacking on his old lady when he went to sleep. She worked on his head with a hammer. So there you go.
Ooh. I bet he had a headache. I was a bad boy once, and my mom beat me with high-heeled shoes. I think they ought to have, like, an assault high-heeled shoe ban or something. I don't know. I forgot about the wooden spoon, too. There ought to be an assault wooden spoon ban. I swear to God. Every young boy in this country would sit there and side with me on that.
Hey, my grandfather used to, believe it or not, still in the 70s, my grandfather was old school. It was like, go out to the tree and cut you down a switch.
Oh, that's how my wife is. And if it's green, or if it ain't green, you're going to go out and cut you a green one.
And the worst part was waiting for Pa to get home.
Yeah, that was the deal. You had to hear about that all day, too, until he did get home. Wait till your daddy gets home. You know, that's, I tell you what, I miss that. I practice that here when I can, but I miss it. Good old days.
Well, I mean,
Michael.
You know, I know we talk about this from
and
week
we grew
to week.
Up so screwed up, Michael. You know, we just grew up just totally screwed up. Look at me. Look at you. You know, we're on a radio thing.
Dang it. I had a clip I wanted to download about the way we grew up that we would have all really appreciated. Well, I'm going to have that on next week's show. Y'all will love it. But hey, look, we are at about 43 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. You are on the phone. I mean, you are on the show, Soldiers of Patriotism, with Michael B. out of Texas and Uncle Bing Fisher out of Tennessee. Right now, we've got our brother Kurt Blackwood on. Kurt, you know what I'm thinking about? We're making a lot of changes here, and you are a very you and Boyd and Ron. We got to come up with something for all of you guys because you are very, very key parts to the show. I was just thinking Kurt's Corner, KK, a five-minute set, because like that thing you did last week on Rome and tied that into current times. I mean, that was just great stuff right there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're over 55, you get a senior citizen's discount.
I didn't do it that time, brother. That was...
Hey, I'm getting there, man. I'm close. Okay.
All right. Well, so we got into Boyd yet, or?
No, let's go to Boyd here next. I think he's been waiting. Kurt, thank you so much, man.
Hang tight.
Yeah, bang.
Hi, Boyd. How you doing, brother?
Morning, Bing. Morning, Michael.
Morning,
Boyd.
Where you are.
It is afternoon here, just by about 43 minutes.
I'm sorry I missed your call on Skype the other day. I'll get with you online. Get with you after the show or something, Boyd. I just I saw that I had a voicemail from you and just hadn't really had the opportunity to get back to you. It's been a slammed week getting ready for the grand launch today.
Yeah. Okay. Not a problem. I can't remember what it was that I was calling you about right at the moment.
Doesn't matter.
That's all right. CRS. I'm old enough to have it.
I think it was a salt wooden spoon band.
Yes. I was going to mention about the gun control thing. I had an email sent to me. I can't remember. Three days ago or something like that. But I went and posted up on Trad-Am and a few other places. And it's about a guy in England who is now serving a life sentence because two burglars came into his house, one wielding a crowbar, and he had his shotgun and shot them both with a blast from the shotgun, One died, one was seriously wounded. And he is now serving a murder sentence for life in England.
Yeah, life sentence. Yeah, I've seen that. They were both together, I think. I think it was one shotgun blast, if I read that correctly. And one died. Yeah, the other one crawled out. And they actually ended up suing the dude. He's in jail now. His lawyer said, don't worry, we'll get you off in about 10 years. He's going, wait a minute, I was protected. Now, this was a guy also, Boyd, if you remember, he's been victimized several times, numerous times in his own house. He's had his property stolen numerous times, and he was protecting it. Look, you have a right to protect yourself. If any man out there or woman, or like I said earlier, that woman that Kurt referenced, or Ron referenced, that was a mother, because that's what mothers do. They protect their kids, okay? And men do too, supposedly, all right? But the thing is that every man and woman out there have a right. You have a right, if you have a kid, to protect your child. It's not an obligation. It's a right. You have a right to protect them. And you have a duty to protect them.
And a duty to.
Right. This poor guy, man, and I wish I could find out who he is or some more information as far as how to get a hold of him, because the article was a little sketchy in some details. But, yeah, it's unbelievable that this guy goes to jail, gets sued, and basically loses everything over his right to defend himself and his property and his family.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going.
But the other thing about it is it showed how it was done in Britain. And it took them 70 years to have a total ban on guns. And
people want to outlaw things, Boyd. I think what they don't understand, what they don't understand, it scares them,
mm-hmm. And like you were saying earlier, people who don't know guns, don't know about guns, fear guns. Which,
right.
If you don't know about it and you don't see them, you have a right and, as far as I'm concerned, a duty to fear that gun. If you don't know how to use it, you better not be picking it up.
Yeah, and it's not just the gun, too. It's also, everything else associated with it. A couple of years ago, as I fell out of my tree stand, and it was because I was stupid, okay? I said, okay, instead of lowering my gun down, I'm going to carry it down with me off the tree stand. And what I did was I started walking down the tree stand from 15 feet up, and I had the gun slung over my shoulder, and it got hung in a rung. And the next thing I know, I was on the ground, and, thank God I did not hurt myself. The gun, I don't even know how it got in my other hand. It just happened. And, but I am not blaming the tree stand. I'm not blaming the gun. The gun didn't do anything to me. Yeah, I'm blaming myself. I blame myself for that accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's no personal responsibility anymore. There's none. And what we have to stop doing, I think, is psychoanalyzing everything that happens. 30 people died in Newtown, okay? That's tragic. It happened in one day, okay? That's very tragic. But the thing is that people die every day from guns, from hammers, more hammers than guns, from clubs, and nobody says anything about it.
Hey, guys, real quickly, we need to...
718-305-7176. Please call in.
Absolutely. We'll be right back to you.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can, and I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host Michael B. and Uncle Bing. It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. And the phone number is 718-305-7176. Again, that's 718-305-7176. You can find us at www.conservativenationradio.org as well as www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. We do have Boyd from Alaska on the line with us real quick. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. We kind of blew by our 45-minute soft break there. I thought I'd go ahead and get it in real quick. I did find something that that fits real well, Boyd and Bing and Kurt and Ron, with this conversation that we're having. It's about a 2-minute clip. I want to play it real quick for you guys because it ties in real well with what Bing said just as we went into that soft break. All right? So it's called I Can't Believe We Made It.
I can't believe we made it. According to today's regulators and bureaucrats, those of us who were kids in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or even early 80s probably should not have survived. Our baby cribs were covered with bright colored lead-based paint. We had no childproof lids or locks on medicine bottles, doors, or cabinets. And when we rode our bikes, we had no helmets. We drank water from the garden hose and not from a bottle. We ate cupcakes, bread, and butter, and drank soda with lots of sugar in it. But we were rarely overweight because we were always outside playing. We would leave home in the morning and play all day, as long as we were back when the streetlights came on. No one was able to reach us all day. Smartphones? We didn't have cell phones at all. No PlayStations, Xboxes, limitless channels on cable, laptops or tablets. Facebook was an actual face and an actual book. We had friends. We went outside and found them. We played dodgeball, and sometimes the ball would hurt. We fell out of trees, got cut, and broke bones and teeth. And there were no lawsuits from these accidents. No one was to blame but us. Remember accidents? We had fights and punched each other and got black and blue and learned to get over it. We made up games with sticks and tennis balls. And although we were told it would happen, we didn't put out any eyes. We rode bikes or walked to a friend's home, knocked on the door, rang the bell, or just walked right in and talked to him. Little League had tryouts, and not everyone made the team. Those who didn't had to learn to deal with disappointment. Some students weren't as smart as others, so they failed a grade and were held back to repeat the same grade. Tests were not adjusted for any reason. Our actions were our own. Consequences were expected. The idea of parents bailing us out if we got in trouble in school or broke a law was unheard of. They actually sided with the school or the law. Imagine that. Now, this generation has produced some of the best risk takers, problem solvers, and inventors ever. We had freedom, failure, success, and responsibility, and we learned how to deal with it. If you've related to anything that was just said, you're one of them. Congratulations. You made it.
You know, I chuckled.
Dude, I got tears in my eyes, man.
Well, and I'm chuckling to keep from crying, dude, because, you know, I think back to those days. I'd get up, I'd have my cereal on Saturday morning, and I'd watch Super Friends or whatever. It was the only day you had cartoons was Saturday morning. 9 o'clock in the morning, I was dressed. I was out the door. Mom, Dad, see you later. I'll be back later on. There was no cell phone. And I'm partially guilty for falling into this trap now. I send my kids out the door with a cell phone. I want to be able to get a hold of them. I worry about them being in the street. And I live in the country. I mean, I live in a small neighborhood in the middle of cow pastures. And yet I'm still afraid that some knucklehead may drive through here and bring harm to my children. And because of that fear, I'm guilty for not letting them probably grow up the way I did. I do so more than other people do in town, but I'm still afraid, you know. But I was up and at them, and that video was absolutely right, Bing. I didn't come home till dark, and I knew to have my butt home at dark.
Yeah, a lot of times my mom had a dinner bell thing, you know, and the chime deal, you know. Or cowbell, or she'd hit the cymbals off my drum set or something to get me home, you know. Come on, you know. I mean, it was a different time, man. I don't think that things have changed, really. I think we are wanting to change, but I think that I think things ought to go back to that period of time. Personally,
I wish they would. You know,
I mean,
I guess people could ridicule. They ridiculed Mitt Romney for living in, you know, for being Ward Cleaver. Guess what? I miss those days.
Dude, we used to go out. We used to sit and get in fights. I mean, come home. Yeah, you're all scraped up. You know, King of the Hill. Remember playing King of the Hill? Yes. You made your own swords, you know, as boys, you know. We would sit there and terrorize the girls and take their dowels out of the sandbox and rip their heads off. I mean,
throw frogs at them.
We were vicious.
Yeah.
Throw frogs there. You know, I remember my mom coming home and me and friends went out in the field and got like, I don't know, 200 pheasant eggs and stuck them in her oven and turned it on. I mean, she was mad.
But you know, the point is, you know, I can remember going, you know, I grew up in the hill country down in Texas, and there's a lot of festivals down there, things like what we call the Chilimpiad. It's a big, huge chili cook-off in San Marcos. And we'd load up all us kids in the back of Dad's 4x, you know, his pickup truck. And we'd make the trek from the west side of San Antonio, where we lived, out around Helotes and Bernie. And, you know, we'd drive over, you know, we'd take 1604, which back in those days was, I mean, that was way outside of San Antonio. You can't tell no difference now. But, I mean, that was a country drive. Dad always had a cold one between his legs. I mean, that's, you know, I shouldn't probably share this, but to this day, that's a habit. I still, you know, we had open container. We didn't have any open container laws here in Texas up until the mid-80s. And, you know, that's how we stayed cool. And, you know, I know it's probably, you know, you can't drive around intoxicated, but I do it to this day still. If I need to take a little trip into town or something, I take a beer for the road. That's just the way I grew up. I don't get drunk. If I'm going to get drunk, I stay home and get drunk. But,
that's right.
You know, we drove around in the back of pickup trucks. You can't do that no more. We played dodgeball in school. God knows how many times I came home black and blue for making
sports.
Dude,
I was dodgeball king, man. I'm telling you. I was dodgeball king. I was smart at it. I let everybody else get out first. I'd push them up. I don't care what I had to do, man. They were out before I got out.
Well, we've got a few minutes left here. Boyd was on with us before we took that soft break. Let's go ahead, pull him back in here up until the top of the hour and get his thoughts on that, and then we'll get some of these other callers in, because our board is starting to stack up, Bing. It looks like we're going to do pretty good up against football today. So let's go ahead.
Well, cool. And... yeah. Cool.
Boyd?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Boyd. Hold on just a second. I wanted just to put a plug in for my buddy here that does some of the promo spots for us.
Oh, yes, please do.
Greg Duran, he's the one that does, you know, you can tell his voice, you know, he talks kind of. But he used to be a vocalist in one of the rock bands, actually two of the rock bands I was in. And the guy's just got a great voice. He did all these drops for us for free, and I want to thank him. Thank you, Greg. Thanks. They sound terrific, man.
I love them. Boyd, so what did you think about that video? And in regards to what we were talking, I mean, I know we were talking about gun control, but to me, in my mind, this all kind of fits together, because back in those days, Boyd, we took responsibility. I mean, Americans, by and large, took responsibility for their actions. Tease me about being Ward Cleaver or Beaver Cleaver or whatever you want, all you want. I miss those days.
Oh, yeah, so do I. But, you know, the one thing you hear parents saying nowadays is get out of the house, you know, to their kids. Well, in my days, it was get back in here.
Yeah, get out of the house was a blessing. That means you didn't have no chores to do, you know. Your mom was saying, hey, get out of here. Go play. Okay, I'm out of here.
Yep.
You know, and you're looking up your friends and so on, you know, and trying to see what kind of trouble you can get into. Not that we were looking for trouble, but it always seemed to follow us, you know. But hey, look, we grew up, as that video said, we survived. We're still here.
But the other strange thing about it back in those days was, like, my mom always knew 20 minutes before I knew what I was going to do. And you know, I don't know how the mothers in that block communicated or did things. But I know that every mother on that block had a group of kids, you know, and they just moved from house to house to house, you know.
It's guard, the guard, sixth guard. Sense.
You know, well, it's the sixth sense being, but you know what else it is? It was a community that communicated to one another.
Well, that's very true. That is very true, man. Look, I had neighbors bring me home. I had one neighbor bring me home, an old neighbor, and this guy was old, okay? He brought me home by the ear. I mean, you talk about humiliating, walking for, I don't know how long, it seemed like miles to me. When somebody's holding your ear, it seems like miles when you're walking, okay? And he's walking actually faster than I am. And then I got it when my mom got home, or when I got home, because my mom was there, and she's, you know, stay-at-home mom kind of thing, you know, back then. And then I got it. I had to sit there and wait till your dad gets home. Wait till your father gets home. Oh, boy, you're be in some deep crap now. You know, and then all of a sudden you're there. I mean, that's the buildup, man. That is like the buildup of the – that's the crescendo of the Big Bang Theory, okay?
Hey, guys, we're up against the hard break. Let's do this real quick. We'll come back and keep this conversation going, okay?
Rightio.
Together, you and I shocked the world. Not only did we win Iowa and 10 other states, we framed the Republican message, and we showed that conservative values are alive and well all across America. And what do I call winning 11 states? Well, just the beginning. Because by staying together, you and I can amplify our voices and change America. And the top of that list, of course, is defeating Barack Obama. To accomplish all this, I'm starting a brand new organization, Patriot Voices. Once again, I'm calling on you and 1 million other patriots to join me and guarantee that our voices be heard. Our mission is clear. Fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. To accomplish this, we'll mobilize our grassroots troops to help elect candidates that share our values and hold elected officials accountable for their actions all across this country. And like the founding fathers of our country, we're ready to take on the establishment or anyone else who opposes those bedrock American principles. Are you ready to join the fight to protect the sanctity of life, protect traditional marriage, return to the principles of our Constitution, restore fiscal sanity in Washington and across this country, and make America an economic and manufacturing superpower again? Then it's time you become a member of Patriot Voices. And joining couldn't be simpler. Just go to patriotvoices.com and you can instantly become a founding member of our organization. You and I weren't there for the American Revolution. We didn't write the Constitution or sign the Declaration of Independence. But let's make no mistake about it. The fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and ensure opportunity for all in America is just as critical today as it was back then. Our time in history is right now, and I hope that you'll choose to join me in this critical fight by joining Patriot Voices today. Patriot Voices, your voice multiplied by a million.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
Yeah.
God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
And good Sunday afternoon to you. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host from Texas, Patriot Studios, Command Michael B., along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing Fisher from Tennessee, Patriot Studios, Command. We have about 55 minutes left in this program. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Please give us a call. We'd like to discuss with you anything that's on your mind, topics that we've already discussed, which has been gun control, and the topics that we're going to weave into this conversation during this second hour. You can find us at www.conservativenationradio.com, as well as www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. Brother Bing, we've had a lot going on already with Boyd and Ron and with Kurt on the line talking about gun control, and if you're of a certain age and you're alive, then you survived. And I think and that's all fine and well. And I just want to add to that conversation because we do have some other things to talk about. First of all, next Sunday, we do have a big show scheduled. It's going to be AJ Rising, and he will be talking about the first book in his dystopian series called Freedom Redo. This is called The Escape to Freedom. It's going to be a very good interview. I encourage everybody to buy it. It's $14 on Amazon. You can download it to your Kindle, read the book. He's going to have a couple of signed copies, so you definitely want to be present, don't you, Bing?
Oh, heck yeah, man. Yeah, get in early on that because, yeah, get your calls in early because I don't know what he's going to give away as far as – I know he's going to give away a couple books, but I don't know how quick he's going to do it, so you want to make sure that you're there early.
Right, exactly. And I'm not going to say what time he's going to be calling in, although I gave it away on Facebook. But,
yeah, you kind of slipped there.
Well, we actually have a guest – well, you know what? We have a guest at 3 o'clock, Bing. It's Mark Stewart. He's a Texas Tea Party leader. He's going to talk to us about – the behavioral science that the Democrats and the liberals employed to help them win this past election. Very interesting stuff. It's going to butt up well against this. You know, I had noticed in the chat room earlier, Bing, that our sister Melissa from Tennessee had said it's not too far from fiction anymore. And she's absolutely right. I mean, you know, Ayn Rand, George Orwell, A.J. Rice, these guys, I know it's cutting edge. A lot of people aren't into the dystopian stuff like you and I are. And if you look at our show page on conservativenationradio.org, the very top there, right underneath the banner, you're going to see a quote that I love from Ayn Rand. It's run for your life from any man who tells you that money is evil. That sentence is the leper's bell of an approaching looter. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I know that my brother Bing does. But Bing, real quickly, I hate to give up the 12 minutes, but Ted Cruz really had a really good interview on Fox News. Should I wait after the soft break since we're already at 9 minutes after the top of the hour? And because it talks about Chuck Hagel, and we've really got to talk about Chuck Hagel.
Oh yeah, we definitely do. I think yeah, let's get in some more callers here, man. I think, and then we'll do that right after.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm gonna let you answer the phones. I'm gonna sit back and relax my throat for a minute.
All right. Let's see who we got here. Let's go ahead and get TNT Man in here.
Hey, I'm a first listener to the show. I gotta say, big fan already.
Oh, cool.
There were a few things that you said that I just generally have a disagreement towards. I don't know whether you want to discuss this or not.
I'll go for it.
All right. In your kind of pre-roll thing, you said that we're going to fight against Barack Obama or something similar to that. What I would like to ask are, what are your pet peeves for Barack Obama? And again, I am a first-time listener. If you've already discussed this before, by no means do you have to answer this.
Oh, no, I think it was Michael, I think, was talking about that. But, I mean, my pet peeves against Barack Obama is that I think he's just got an agenda of socialism, communism, socialism. That communism is the end game. I think socialism is the mid game. That's just my opinion. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Socialism is when one man or a government wants to take complete power. Same thing with communism, only a bit different. And Barack Obama has shown well in the past, and I don't know whether you have a censor beep out, but I'm going to try not to curse here. He's not I don't know how to say this. He kind of takes orders from other people. He doesn't. He's not really one of our toughest presidents. All of his decisions so far have, I will admit that they have been for political play, like when he's talking. But then you have to remember, you go back to George Bush, he did the exact same thing, and what did he do? He got our country into millions, billions of dollars into debt. He started two wars that we didn't really even need to be in, and...
No.
Wait.
I'm not going to let that slip. I'm a veteran. I ain't going to let that slip.
Oh, no. I'm no way trying to talk bad about veterans. But here's the thing.
Are you saying that Barack Obama is a puppet and there's a puppet master?
He can be a puppet, yes. I'm not saying that he's always a puppet, but I'm saying for the most part he can be a puppet. Like, for instance, when he goes in front of the Republican Party to try to present what he has, he doesn't necessarily just say, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do it my way or the highway. He doesn't do that. In fact, most of the time when the Republican Party disagrees with him, he doesn't even fight for it. The last thing he freaking fought for, I don't even remember the last thing he freaking fought for to actually pass a bill. I mean, what's the last thing that he actually did that really makes him seem in any way like a socialist? That's the only thing.
Socialized health care? I mean, that's pretty much does it for me. Executive orders? How many more fiats do you want? You
know, does Cloward and Pithens mean anything to you, caller? Yes, he's a weak leader, and so was Hitler, but he still rose to power, and he still destroyed Germany. George Bush, for all of his for being a neocon, this is Michael B. I give George Bush kudos for doing what he did after 9/11. Afghanistan was not a war that we did not need to go into. Afghanistan was most definitely a war that we needed to go into. That is where the people came from that killed 3,000 of our fellow citizens, young man. 3,000 of them. We had 3,000 of our citizens blown to smithereens and scattered across New York City from a hellhole called Afghanistan, where they launched the attack. Saddam Hussein, for 10 years, he defied UN law and bombed in and did things that he wasn't supposed to do against UN. I'm so frustrated right at the moment. Let me calm down. But this was another man that needed to be dealt with. You may not agree with the war, but it is the job of the country to defend the country's national interest. In both cases, we were attacked from Afghanistan, and we had put sanctions in place against a dictator that, while we created, needed to be dealt with, who killed millions upon millions upon millions of people. Yet you're probably the bleeding heart liberal that would cry for the people in the Sudan and say something needs to be done about that. Now, I'm going to bring you back on.
All right, okay. I would like to first address the thing where they blown 3,000 of our citizens to smithereens. All right, I will admit that was a wrong thing to do. A bleeding heart liberal. I'm not a bleeding heart liberal. In fact, I'm somewhat liberal, but I tend to go right on a lot of issues. But the whole thing with that is it's the same thing. Wait a minute. I have to think here.
Let's both take a breath. I'm sorry I got so aggravated with you, but you go ahead and say what you want to say.
All right. So they blew 3,000 of our they blew 3,000 Americans to smithereens. All right. So that gives us the right to go over to their country and kill hundreds upon thousands of their citizens, most of which didn't even do anything wrong. That gives us the right. I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for saying this,
watch our language.
Okay, sorry about that. It's the same thing with Pearl Harbor, right? So they killed I don't know how many exact. I don't really care to know really. Large number of our people. So we can go over there and blow a nuke on two cities in Japan just because of that.
And yes, we can.
Do you know
how many
millions of lives, how many hundreds of thousands of lives that saved? Thanks for calling, man. But, I mean, you know, you're living in some kind of different facade here or parallel universe, because that what we did back then, if you remember, the Russians were developing the nuclear warhead too. We stopped millions of I don't know how many millions of people of getting slaughtered by dropping two bombs because we ended the war.
I guess he would be okay with the 6 million Jewish folks that were taken to their death because we had to go and kill some bystanders in Germany. I mean,
well, you know,
there is damage with war. If you live in a country, brother, being, I know you and I agree with this, and thank you for calling very much. We'll leave you on hold if you'd like to listen to the show. You can disconnect if you'd like. We've got other callers to get to. But with the cost of war comes collateral damage. And if you live in a country where you've got people who might invite upon you the chance of being killed by another country that someone in your country's done harm to, then I suggest you get up off your lazy butts and you figure out a way to overthrow the Taliban, or you figure out a way to overthrow the Nazis, or the fascist in Japan. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know,
take care of your own stuff, your own country first. And the whole thing is, look, you know, the first thing come out of his mouth here, and, you know, he can call up some other time or something like that. Right now, I don't want to deal with him. I was having a good time reminiscing and so on. But the thing is that when they bring up George Bush, and look, I'm not a big fan of George Bush, okay? Towards the end, he was starting to get real socialist on me, and I ain't like that, okay? And I'm sure probably, Michael, you probably agree with me. I can't put words in your mouth. But the deal is when you start bailing out.
GOP.
Yeah. And this is that was the start of the bailout programs and the give me's and all this kind of stuff. OK, but I'll tell you what, you know what? George Bush at least was a leader when we needed one.
And I will forever be grateful to President Bush for doing and taking the decisive action that he took after 9/11.
Right. And when the liberals want to sit there and chastise him for being in that school and sitting there looking like, you know, dumbfounded when his aides told him about the trade centers being blown up, okay? And he's sitting in there in front of children, okay? And they make him out to be like some sort of a weirdo or some sort of pathological, you know, neocon for what was he doing? This is just another liberal game, another little tactic that they want to play. But look, I'm not a big fan of George Bush, but I got to say that the man was a leader. Obama is not a leader.
Brother, we passed our soft break. Let's do a quick little 30-second break just to stick with formatting purposes. Then we'll get back into this. And 718-305-7176 is the phone number. Please give us a call. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. And Brother Bing, you know, I want to apologize to everybody that was listening. I shouldn't have lost my cool. In the future, if I start to lose my cool, just throw me on mute. I'll know what that means.
Yeah, I'll just kick you on mute.
Imagine
me,
a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism. It is Sunday, and it is 24 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We've been having some really interesting conversation here today, Brother Bing. I didn't expect for my blood pressure to get to a boiling point. And I just want to apologize to that young man again if he's still listening. I'm sure that in his heart he is a good and decent person. But it's the mentality of a pacifist that really bothers me as someone who served, wrote that blank check, and was willing to defend this country, because there's an unfortunate cost to war. And as sad as it is, there just is. But we can't live our lives as a nation afraid of whom we might kill in order to defend our sovereignty. And that just irks me, and when, and especially when they bring up the two, the Afghanistan war and the war in Iraq, the second war in Iraq, as being wrong wars.
What surprises me is somebody that wasn't even born, you know, when we dropped the two atomic bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, can sit there and relate to it. You know, it was a different time. You had to live back then. I remember, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, going out and playing all day and having fun as a kid and so on. I also remember some weird times back then, Michael. I'm sure you do. Hiding under your desk in school. Remember the air raid drills? The nuclear air raid drills?
Duck and cover.
I mean, I remember that too.
With nuclear detente, living under the fear of nuclear annihilation, I kind of miss those days.
Yeah, me too. But now we got people, rogue countries, you know, and people that are not even countries that have the bomb, or have maybe the ability to get the bomb. That's scary. That's scarier than mutual assured mad.
Well, look what's happened in the vacuum of the demise of the USSR. When we had, look, that's when I served, 82 to 88. That's what I did day in and day out as a paratrooper, is I practiced with to go to war against the predominantly in South America, because that's where the problem was. We, you know, without going into a lot of detail, had a lot of back and forth time in Nicaragua. You know, we had the problem with the Honduras and the Sandinistas. We had the little problem in Grenada, which was, on the surface, seemed foolish, but that was a huge landing strip. It made it a one-stop flight from the Soviet Union into Nicaragua, there in Grenada. That airstrip had to be destroyed. Were some Cubans killed? Dang straight. Too bad. They shouldn't have been down there.
Well, I look at some of these pilots and so on that, you know, that fly these sorties and missions over there in Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. So, not Iran yet, but when you start to look at what they have to do, the protocol they have to follow, and what they have to actually do to minimize casualties, civilians, and so on, that it's unbelievable that they even can function. I can't see how they can function.
Well, I know we've got several new callers on the line, but Brother Kurt has been sitting on hold for a long time. Let's pull him in here. I have this strange feeling that Brother Kurt can offer us some wisdom on the last caller that I think we might enjoy. So let's pull him in, get his thoughts on that, and then time permitting, before the bottom of the hour, we'll bring in some of these other callers. It looks like we may not get to the Chuck Hagel thing today. We'll just play it by ear. We seem to have a pretty good discussion going on now. So, Brother Kurt, come on in here.
Yeah, Michael, I got some wisdom on that last caller. I'll sum it up, and I don't know if this is one word or two. Here it is. Nitwit.
Well, it was a good show. Thanks for joining us today, folks. We'll see you next Sunday. No, go ahead, Brother Kurt.
I have no patience. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, if you want
you're
to
like
apologize
a bad
to the guy, that's fine. You know, that's a few. I have worn out far too much of my patience on people like that. It's just, you know, I'm just at the end of my rope with them. It takes someone with more patience than I to deal with them. I don't have to. I'm not going to. End of discussion on that.
You're like a bad doctor, ain't you, Kurt? You ain't got no patience.
There you go.
Hey, you know what? Real quickly, we're at 25 minutes after the top of the hour, Brother Kurt. I'm gonna give you some more time. I just want to interject here real quick.
That's okay.
The phone number 718-305-7176. Since we've been talking about war and the casualty of war, I just want to take a moment to remember one PFC, Marky T. Sims, 20, of Citra, Florida. He was the only casualty that we had this past week, and he lost his life defending the freedom for others over there in Afghanistan. Now, I guess that young man that called might think that was a waste of life. I tend to think that PFC Sims probably joined with the knowing that that might happen, but doing what he felt in his heart was right for the cause of liberty. And so I just, my hat's tipped to that that brother.
Yep. Thank you, Private First Class Sims, and your family. Thank you.
Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, you'll have to excuse me for a minute there. That what you had just got through saying there had me kind of choked up. There's been something rattling around in my mind that I experienced just a couple nights ago that I'm just going to touch on this. I had occasion night before last to stand in front of the flag draped coffin of a World War II veteran, a man that I knew personally. I know his whole family. He came to our Tea Party meetings regularly. He contributed financially to our cause. I know his life story. And it brought a deep sadness to me to know that this man is no longer with us. It was a sadness in one respect. I told his son, standing there in front of the coffin, that, you know, I'd rather be where he is than where I am. But that's the way it is. I'm here. I know what Big Daddy did for America in his lifetime. And while I'm still here, I will try to carry on his legacy to the best of my ability. And I wish I had a way of explaining, if I thought I could explain that to Brandon, I believe that's who was making the comments while ago, Brandon Smith. If I had a way of explaining to him about that gentleman and what he contributed to this country, and what is being done to his contribution now, I would probably attempt to sit down, but I don't think I can get the message through to him, and not in this venue. See, the problem is that this young man was educated in a government school system that does not teach the truth about what the greatest generation did for America and for all of us. So that's just my tribute to an old warrior who went to his reward this week.
Kurt,
may Eddie Moody's memory live on through us.
Thank you, sir. Do you know his rank?
I do not.
Okay. Well, name is Eddie Moody?
Eddie Moody.
All right. Well, thank you. That was touching.
I salute Eddie Murphy as well. Thank you for sharing that with us, Kurt. I appreciate that. It's, you know, we can't ever forget those. We can't forget our greatest generation. My grandfathers and my uncles, they all served over in the South Pacific. One of them served over in Europe. I wasn't alive then. I only know it from the history books, but being of the mentality that I am, I think I probably understand it better than someone like our last caller and understand what it was they sacrificed for us, you know, what it was, our Korean War, the Forgotten War, our Korean War veterans sacrificed for us, our Vietnam War veterans, our Gulf War I veterans, and our Afghanistan and Gulf War II veterans. There's a common thread there among all of them, among all veterans, whether they served in combat or not. And that common thread is that they stood ready to defend liberty, either for this country or for another country, because they profoundly believe that liberty is the best to live under. And, you know, I just it really bothers me to no end. Maybe I didn't need to apologize to that young man. I'm trying to really keep my head about me. We're trying to clean up the show and make it sound really good, so I probably should have done a better job of that. But, you know, I have to agree with you, Kurt.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, my hat's off to all those that served. You know, when it comes around in memorial, we got a break coming up, Michael. And the number is 718-305-7176. You can catch us at conservativenationradio.org or traditionalamericanmovement.com. You know, please come in and check us out. Check out the rest of the shows. We got some stuff that we want to talk about here when we come out of this break, Michael.
Yeah, let's do it. And of course, we got a stacked line too. We're down to the last 25 minutes. We may just have to roundtable the rest of this and save Chuck Hagel for another day. But let's go ahead. We're going to take about a 5-minute break. We'll be right back, guys.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Atkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero, but Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
Mark your calendars. January 13th. Conservative Nation Radio proudly presents special guest A.J. Resig, author of the futuristic dystopian series Freedom Redo, Escape to Freedom. The first book of the series, which takes place in the fall of 2049, AJ will discuss how a future United States of America has become a socialist nation. Unfortunately, a nation that has not become the utopia the left has dreamed of. Catch AJ right here next Sunday on the Conservative Nation Radio's Soldiers of Patriotism.
Listening to Soldiers of Patriotism.
And this is your host, Michael B., along with my brother from another mother, the man who I enjoy doing this show with and have for some time now, my brother, Uncle Bing Fisher from Tennessee. It is 35 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Again, that is 718-305-7176. You can catch us at www.conservativenationradio.org as well as www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. Two great things that go together, kind of like peanut butter and chocolate. Brother Bing, we've been having... Go ahead.
Does anybody use www anymore? I just dropped that. It takes too much time. It's like www.
You got to train me on this stuff, brother. I don't know. I thought I had to give the whole dang thing. I didn't know if there was another way to start one.
No, dude, pretty soon anymore, all you have to do is think about it, and you'll be right there, okay? So.
Oh, geez. Maybe that show next week's a little scarier than I want to imagine, that Freedom Redo. That sounds like that's going to be a good show. By the way, that backdrop, on that drop, that background music, I don't know. I'm a big, I'm a big dystopian futuristic mm-hmm. kind of guy. Well, George Herbert, or Herbert, whatever it is, I can't remember his name right off the top of my head, that did the Dune series. I love Dune. It's one of my favorite movies, and I love the long version. And
that was one movie I just could never get into, man. I don't know why. I just couldn't get into it.
Well, it's dystopian on another planet, on another side of the galaxy. Man, I mean, you've got your religion wrapped up into it. You've got your dystopian, futuristic, you know, they've not only taken over the there's no Earth in it, but, oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I love me some Dune. Anyway, that's Toto in the background there. It just sounded so cool for that dystopian, you know, introducing that dystopian novel. But listen, I don't want to waste a lot of time chatting. We got a lot of callers on here, Ben. Go ahead and let's start bringing them on, brother.
Yeah, let's get Banana Hammer. Let's get him in.
Which, that
in here.
Scares me, that name.
Hey, dude. I don't know. You're on Soldiers of Patriotism. Banana Hammer 1, Banana Hammer 2.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, sorry, right before I got called on, I had to go do something.
Hey, can we have your first name, because I'm uncomfortable with your screen name.
Name's Tybalt.
Tybalt, how you doing today?
Good. What were you guys talking about? I had to get away from the computer for a second.
Well, we've been talking about gun control. We've been talking about the fact that Obama's a socialist. We've been talking about everything from World War II all the way up to the current war, and with one caller who thought that that we were wrong for defending ourselves. In fact, Bing, I just wanted to mention real quick, our sister, Melissa Bonahan, she said, I wonder what that caller would do if someone came to his home with a gun. Would he try to dialogue his way out of dying?
Actually, I do know the guy, and he does want to own a gun just for self-defense.
Oh, well, tell us more. We're interested in Paul.
Well, he does, like he said, he does go on the right on many, many issues, like gun control and... Like how everybody, you know, how everybody says, especially after, like, the Sandy Hook shooting and the Columbine shooting, everybody says, video games did the, you know, they caused the tragedy and all that kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, he disagrees with all of that. He thinks it's all BS. He doesn't go with everything that the liberal media says and stuff like that. And actually, I'm... on a lot of the things he said, minus the war thing, to me that's a little bit of a gray issue, but minus the war thing, he said, I am very, I do agree with a lot of what he said.
Let me ask you a question, I can feel it, I haven't even looked at the chat room, I'm not on that tab. But I can feel it coming through from Teresa and Melissa. I can actually feel my brother being begging the question to be asked. Are you guys, by chance, Ron Paul supporters?
I was just going to ask that.
Actually, I used to be one until I realized...
Until
I realized how fucking crazy he was.
Hey, we love your call, but we're trying to clean up the language, okay?
We can have that. So let's move on, okay? Let's go over to Eric over here, if you don't mind, Michael.
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah, we can't have that language if you're still listening, Mr. Banana Hammer.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Anyway, sorry. On the subject of gun control, and this is something that leftward polyprog types here on BTR get on to me all about all the time, and they always want to say, but we've heard you on your show because you've been a victim of gun violence twice. Surely you would understand. And I'm like, you don't listen to the other 50% of what I've said, because yes, I've been the victim of gun violence, but it was also a gun in my hand that saved my life.
There you go.
Absolutely.
In the case of the second time, doggone it, why wasn't I wearing that second chance body armor? But hey, you know, people forget. They don't always wear it, you know. And I got tagged. And in the case of the first instance, it was just a graze, and the guy, in both instances, the guy was a crappy shot. Thank heaven. Okay, I'm very grateful for that. In the case of the second one, he was a crafty criminal, but still a crappy shot because he used Hydro Shocks, which means
you
got
to be
splinter.
Hanging out with the wrong people too, man. Did you ever think about that?
Well, yeah, bad people, bad places, bad attitudes, and the like. But that's the key thing. And you know, in one instance, it was, you know, a military situation. In the other instance, it was a civilian situation. So I can see both sides of the debate, but hey, I'm a firm believer, brother. Trust me, you know. People.
So are you a veteran?
Oh yeah.
Well, tell us. Tell us what you want, but share with us. We appreciate. I'm a veteran. We try to make our show as much as possible about veterans and about active duty. So please enlighten us a little bit. Share with us where you've been, to what degree you can, and thank you very much for your service.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes,
I appreciate
sir.
That because you guys have listened to my show before and you guys have actually interacted with me before. So you already know I have a special operations background. So some of the stuff.
Okay. I know. All right. I know.
Yeah. Some of the stuff I can talk about. Some of the stuff I can't. The main areas, you know, my last dance, as it were, that I got to go to was Afghanistan 10 years ago. I was there in the early months of it and doing the four wheeler thing. I don't do horses. Just saying.
I'm the guy
who had to help coordinate all the four wheelers.
Did you get to hear our first caller that said what he did about war?
What I wanted to try to clarify, because you ever notice that the leftward side talks about how great Barack Obama is and how lousy George Bush was, but they never ever bring in the course. You'll have the Ron Paul people with that phrase, all these wars, which they like to throw out on a regular basis. But do you ever notice they never mentioned the 13 auspices of war that George Bush presented to not only the Congress, but also to the UN? Do you ever notice that's surprisingly silent?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
when
it
you
is.
Bring that up, the only thing that they can zone in on is weapons of mass destruction. They don't mention, you know, Saddam Hussein slaughtering his own people, you know, harboring known terrorists. And oh, just throw all that out the window because that doesn't count.
Well, you know, my answer to them about the weapons of mass destruction thing, unlike, say, Benghazi, you know, we all know what the definition of a lie is. The definition of a lie is an untruth knowingly told with the intent to deceive.
Right.
Now, did we find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? To what degree they want to say we didn't? Well, that doesn't mean that President Bush lied to us. It just means that, and we know where they actually went because they're using them now over there in Syria.
Yeah,
but that was not a lie by definition,
right.
As opposed to Benghazi, where we were lied. There was a lie that came from the administration with the intent to deceive the American public.
Yeah, and when it
comes
to Benghazi. Right. Well, guys, I think when it comes to Benghazi, there needs to be a new bumper sticker out there that says, "When Nixon lied, no one died." I really think so. It's just my personal.
Yeah.
But as for the left's definition, because chemical and bioweapons don't count as weapons of mass destruction anymore in their book, you'll notice.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I've done the research. We know we had them. Because unfortunately, we're the ones that sent the chemical weapons that they killed the Kurds with.
Unfortunately.
Because
we were hoping they were going to use them against Iranians during their little dust up.
Exactly. We sent all that stuff over in the late 70s, early 80s. Saddam was our own Frankenstein.
Actually, we didn't send them. He had to buy them.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And that goes back to blaming the gun shop owner for Mrs. Lanza and all the rest of that. And speaking of which, here's another thing that I really wish that people would stop doing. Stop calling Sandy Hook a shooting. okay? Because the left has managed to take that word and demonize guys who hunt deer like myself because you're assassinating Bambi. Well, you know, I'm kind of tired of that, guys. And I don't know how you feel about it, but it was a massacre, period. Just like Luby's cafeteria.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
I was out this morning. I've been out for the last, month since the season opened on rifle trying to get me a Bambi with antlers, okay? Not a Bambi. It's a buck. But, you know, I don't see him. But anyways, yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, the Ron Paul people, I mean, you know, I like Dr. Paul, all right, to a point. But there comes this point when you have this myopic view of the world and you're enclosed in a little bubble. And you think that if we don't touch them, they won't hurt us. They won't hurt us. They'll leave us alone if we don't mess with them. No, that ain't the way the world works anymore. We are not just a player in this country. We are a global player, okay?
Yeah.
And we're all over the place.
And you can't go with the mindset, right? And you can't make your mindset. Let's just make ourselves smaller so they can't see us. It doesn't work that way.
Well, hey guys, I'm up against the soft break. Fly over. Stand tight 1 second. I want to be able to give yourself a plug. And then we're going to be at the last segment of the show. We're going to open up the mics. We need to get in a few other callers, but I do want to get back to our Ron and Boyd and Kurt as well to end the show. So hang tight, okay? We're just 1 minute. Actually,
imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism. It is 47 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Give us a call if you want to try to get in on this last segment. This is Michael B. along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing. And you're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. We've got one of our fellow talk show hosts on the line with us. Flyover, I can't remember your first name or your show name. Give us that information.
Thanks, Uncle Bing. Appreciate that. At least Uncle Bing remembers. Got to remember our fellow Tennesseans.
I'm trying to figure out who's older here.
I'm gonna
look you up, Eric, man.
That's okay. My show is called Still Flying Over the Heartland, and it regularly broadcasts at 9 p.m. Central Time on Thursdays. Occasionally, I'll throw in an impromptu show like I did on Friday night. If you want to catch the most recent episode, it was not my normal fare, but it was entitled Strippers and Hookers and Bourbon and Blow.
That's a good title. So 9 p.m.
Oh yeah, I got a lot of leftward angry grams in the Blog Talk Radio message part of my account, and I even got some emails from people who still remember from what my old blog contact email was, and I even got some Skype messages too, and so yeah.
Well, did you finally get rid of the gimp in the black leather suit? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, there was no mentioning of gimpism. Oh, okay. I think I'll do that on an upcoming segment called Alt Lifestyle, you know, or whatever.
Bring out the gimp.
Gimp's asleep. Go wake him up.
So that's Still like Flying Over the Heartland, 9 p.m. Central. That's 10 p.m. for you folks in on the East Coast, or 10 p.m. Eastern Time for you folks, which means, by the way, you can check out our new show this Thursday with our brother, Carl Higbee, former U.S. Navy SEAL and author of The Battle on the Home Front, who is premiering his new show along with former JAG officer Guy Reschenthaler. They're going to be on Thursdays from 7 to 9 Eastern Time, which is 6 to 8 Central. And that premieres on the Conservative Nation Radio this Thursday.
That's going to be a great show, too, man. That's going to be a great show, I'm telling you.
I'm chomping at the bit on that one.
Well, you were special. So, you know, I mean, we're considering it a coup d'etat to have gotten Carl to do a show on our network.
Yeah, that's going to be a very good show. I mean, we did some practice runs with him a little bit, and it's going to be great, man. Them two get along. They're just, you could tell they're dancing. You know, you could tell they're on the same page there, Michael.
It's something about, well, yeah, exactly, for a seal and a jag, but with flyover here, it's something about these special ops guys. I mean, they've just, they're cock strong, you know,
they
head
work
strong.
Well,
these guys, look, I was just 82nd Airborne Division, and that ain't nothing compared to what these guys did that were in special operations, be they, you know, special forces on the Army side or Delta Forces or the SEALs on the Navy side. I mean, it's just these guys, this is the toughest of the toughest right here. So I would encourage everybody to take a listen to Steel Flying Over the Heartland at 9 p.m. Central on Thursdays, right after the launch of our show.
That's right.
That works great back to back.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, because it's like a great 1-2 punch if you think about it.
Hell,
and I do forgive them for their squidness. I'm just saying.
Yeah, something about those squids. But man, Carl's a great guy. Carl's a great guy.
Yeah, you can call him up and tell him that too, okay?
Oh, I'll gladly tell him any day of the week. Well, I mean, there's a whole series of you know, Army versus Navy, Navy versus Army jokes. And then, of course, we throw in Marines on the side just because it's for giggles. Because that is the reason why they have them on ship, you know, because sheep can't dance.
If you're on Facebook, friend me on Facebook. Just, it's the Flying Shamrock.
But I don't do the facey spaceys, guys.
Well, you need to.
No, I don't do the facey spaces or the Twittery tweets. I already learned my MySpace lesson. Never again.
Email me at michael@conservativenationradio.org. I want to get you.
Yeah, I've already got that because I've already got your site.
And I want to get you in touch with Jordan Pritchard as well. He's the Marine that was standing
another
Gower.
Yep, another great Marine.
Yeah, that was standing guard at the elementary school week before.
Nashville.
In Nashville.
Yeah.
Good friend of ours. So email me, and I'll get you in touch with those guys.
Groovy. Not a problem.
Well, hang tight. We're going to get some other folks on here. We're going to have to kind of run through these folks.
We're going to have to run through these pretty quick. We got 260. I didn't screen that yet, so I don't know, Mike, if you want to go there or you want to go.
Cursor on the X. You bring them on in case we get something obnoxious.
Okay. All right, 260.
Well,
doing?
Hey, guys,
what?
You don't recognize your only female host.
Okay.
Or
yeah,
my number.
Now. Okay.
All right, guys, it's Brenda.
What's up, Brenda? Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it's okay. But, you know, with those younger callers, it's all about history and, you know, Ron Paul kind of skewered things. We can go back to Jefferson and talk about how they didn't leave us alone then and we left them alone. It doesn't work, but we need to educate. But on that, since we're running out of time, I will say don't forget Women Patriots on Tuesdays. And we're having Karen Siegman this Tuesday,
yep.
Rage Against the Media.
That's what I'm talking about. And we've got a lot of good stuff lined up. Women Patriots, man, if you're a conservative guy, go in, listen. You can learn a lot. Just keep it low. But if you're a conservative lady, Women Patriots, where the mothers of our country from the right meet, where great minds meet.
Yeah, and I found out you don't have to be a woman to call in that show either.
Oh, no. We welcome all callers. It's not just for women.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just we have women conservatives who pretty much think just like you guys do about this country and about the future and about defending it. So we encourage you all to listen in and call in, and we're going to have a great guest this Tuesday. So.
Karen Siegman of Rage Against the Media. Again, that is on Women Patriots, 7 Eastern, Barbara?
Yes.
Or Brenda?
Yes,
7 correct?
To 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central.
Well, listen, real quickly, we've got 5 minutes left, and we'll bring Ron Boyd and Kurt in just for final wrap-up. We'll give them a minute and a half each. But since we got the three of us on, Conservative Nation Radio, being myself and one of our partners, Brenda Ward, who does Women Patriots. The direction we're going in, it's fabulous, isn't it, guys? I mean, I'm excited about it. Brenda, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's really been exciting in just the last few days watching the website come to life and the Twitter and the viewers and you know, bringing people together because we're out there. And this is a way to do it, and this is a way to get the message out. And pretty exciting.
Exactly. And you can find all of our show pages at at conservativenationradio.org, as well as with our partners, traditionalamericanmovement.com. Bing, what do you think about all this growth? I mean,
you and I,
we've been working on this. We've all been working on it, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of cool. You and I were partners, and this thing is really just kicking butt, man.
Oh, I'll tell you what. There's no place up but up, okay? There's no place but up. So, you know, we just have to keep working on it. Brenda, I just wanted to ask you, are you on your new mic that you got?
No, actually I'm not. I'm on a phone because my husband's watching football and my kids are playing video games.
Oh, okay.
No,
well,
I get to try that out Tuesday. So.
Well, we'll all be listening. We'll all be listening.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Y'all check it out, too.
You know,
I'm excited.
What's really exciting is this new – in fact, we just had flyover on – you know, we got a lot of possibilities ahead of us. I mean, we need to scout new shows. We're looking at some new radio formatting software where we can go 24/7. We're looking at a cloud PBX to integrate into that with the Live 365 hardware. They were really excited to talk to Duke Brooks, our program director, and I the other day. And they're like, guys, man, please pull this off, figure out how to make this work. But we're running down to the end of the show here, Bing. Let's go ahead. I'm going to open up the mics for Ron Boyd and Kurt.
I'm already ahead of you there, Michael.
Oh, thanks, brother.
No problem.
That's the problem with this lagging on this BTR. But go ahead. We'll start with Ron.
Yeah, let's go, Ron. Go ahead. You got about 30 seconds.
I'm good. There's other people who hadn't been on yet, but I sure appreciate the show and like to hear Eric talk. I didn't know it was him when he was talking and when I was introducing myself to him on the chat screen. It's good to talk to him. Appreciate your service. Move on.
I would.
Eric, you still got a hot
check
mic.
Out his show. Yeah, Eric, you got a hot mic. Or no, he didn't. No, he doesn't.
Let Fred jump in there. I've said enough.
Oh, well, thank you, Ron. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ronnie. Eric, go ahead and plug your show real quick.
Oh, yeah, one more time. Still flying over the heartland. It's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Thursday nights, which is going to be right before CNR's segment that comes up at 10 p.m. Central Time.
Which is the Sound of Freedom.
Which is the Sound of Freedom. And I almost got that spat out, but you beat me to it.
That's the ADD in me, man.
Yeah, I tell you what, Eric, we'll go ahead and try to get a link over to your site over there on CNR. So we'll get
Groovy,
you hooked
not a
up.
Problem.
Absolutely.
Okay, dude. Thank you.
Me.
Thank you, sir.
Bing and I'd like to talk to you offline.
Yep.
All
Take
right.
Care,
well,
Eric.
Brother, we're down to the last minute and a half here.
We might not have enough. Boyd and Kurt, if you can get in real quick, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm good.
Okay, man.
All right. Well, brother, it's been another successful show. We didn't get to the Chuck Rangel thing. We've got a big show ahead of us next week. I guess I'm just going to sign off by saying thank you all for joining us and turn it over to Bing. Brother, take us out.
I just want to say thanks for everybody that joined us. You guys are part of what we're trying to do as far as being successful. So you help us out, and we'll try to come up with better programming and more, you know, greater programming, you know, so that you can sit there and have a great time listening to us.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, and just real quickly, Bing, I just wanted to mention to our listeners, both Trad-Am and otherwise, pay attention just pay attention to Trad-Am or CNR or Facebook or emails or whatever. We do definitely, Bing and I have already discussed putting together a offline team speak, not only for the co-host, but we want to welcome in our regulars so that we can get input from them and ideas from them how we can improve what we're doing and making it better. So look for that within the next week or two.
Yep, and smoke-free since October, middle October, Michael.
Way to go, brother. I'm really proud of you. I'm afraid I fell off the wagon.
Oh, that's okay, man. I'm taking up your slack, all right?
All right, brother. Well, it's the end of the show, folks. We'll see y'all next Sunday for Soldiers of Patriotism Freedom Redo with AJ Resig and Mark Stewart. Goodbye.
God bless.